Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah. You may be seated. One of the first works that God did when he made creation was to separate the light from the darkness. And he made a distinction which he called day and night. And the difference between light and darkness is a matter of contrast. For our life, we need contrast. We can't see if we don't have contrast. We can't know our way if we can't tell the difference between light and dark. The difference between light and darkness also has spiritual significance for us. The Lord chooses to associate himself with the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, from 1 John chapter 1. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us, from Psalm 118. And what that means is that where God is, there is light. And where there isn't light, God's presence is also not there, because God shuns the darkness. Darkness is symbolic for the absence of God, or the rejection of God, which we see in the following verses. Before light was created, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And when God sends the plagues to Egypt, he tells Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." And again, when the Lord describes rejection and being sent to hell on the last day, he says that it's like being thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it's more than poetic eloquence when the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." For God, light and darkness are a matter of being in his presence or being cut off from him. They signify grace and sin. Those walking in darkness are blinded. They're cast out by their sins from the presence of God to wander east of Eden in the land of Nod. They're wandering. They're lost. And their destination is the outer darkness, where there is eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. And even more tragic than that is that this darkness that enshrouds them is so deep, the darkness to be felt, that they can't even see the darkness that covers them, that is in their very heart. It's a darkness that even in the full bright sun of day can darken our understanding and knowledge of God, and even our knowledge of our own spiritual condition. But to these darkened sons of Adam, a light has dawned. To the shepherds who stood out in the cold night, an angel of the Lord appeared in glory and said, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." To crowds of people who know only that something is terribly and dreadfully wrong with their own bodies and the creation that they live in, the voice of the preacher says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So behold, with eyes that have been opened by God to see the light of God's salvation, to see Jesus Christ. The light of God has shone upon us, and we are glad. So glad, in fact, that Isaiah continues, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian." Rejoice because God has brought us back to himself. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have been moved out of darkness and sin, being cast out from God's presence, so that now we are in his presence, in his glorious light. We are light in the Lord. And now God even calls us children of light. And he implores us also to walk in the light, even as he is in the light. And we must work these works of God while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. Nevertheless, as long as he is in the world, Jesus is the light of the world. But we still need contrast. As for our life, and as our life in the light of the Lord continues, it's all too easy for us to forget that contrast from being in the darkness of sin. We forget what a tremendous contrast there is between darkness and light, between sin and grace, between knowing the Lord and being cut off from him by our unbelief. Perhaps you've never sounded the depths of darkness, and you've always known the grace of God, growing up in the church. And you just can't understand how anyone could live without God in the world, especially in the middle of tumultuous times, and how people can be content to walk in darkness away from God. But maybe the darkness looks attractive sometimes because it just doesn't seem that bad. Remember Eve, who used her own reason to judge that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. But once she stepped into the darkness, she fell headlong out of the light in God's presence. And St. James warns us, as Christians, as sons of light, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? But we make excuses for imitating the world. It's not that bad that young men and women participate in debauchery and parties. It's not that bad when old men and women sit around and gossip about one another. After all, it's true, isn't it? And it can't be that bad when we badmouth our elected officials, because after all, we have the First Amendment. Darkness. And even if we were to have that contrast between the darkness of the world and the light that we live in Christ, we also still look for contrast even among the sons of light. And that's what St. Paul was talking about in the epistle reading. When we judge for ourselves good and evil, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. We take it upon ourselves to establish our own contrast. We draw lines among Christians, West versus East, Orthodox versus liberal, young versus old, contemporary versus liturgical. But we forget that God is the one who separated the light from the darkness. He is the one who draws the lines. And he is the one who has the right to establish contrast between good and evil. But God graciously brings us even out of that darkness that still dwells in our hearts, even while we're sons of the light. The same one who divided the light from the darkness, heaven from hell, brings us back from the darkness of our own sin. He reminds us where the lines really are drawn. In verse 18, the last verse of the epistle, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's with his word that God not only brought us from darkness to light, but he continues to keep us in that true faith. It's him who points us to where we are united. He brings us back to that name of Jesus Christ that was put on us in holy baptism, where we were brought through the saving waters of the flood of God's grace, where he said to us, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and marked you to be one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified. And he brought you from darkness to light, and he keeps you in that true faith. He gives you the gift of his Holy Spirit so that you have the gifts of God, of patience, of long-suffering, and of love for one another, of unity that God has worked, because we all have one Father, so that we can see that God alone is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and that we also have that light given to us as a gift. So we can see where God has brought us from and where he is bringing us to. We can see that we have an inheritance that will never perish or fade away. One where there will be contrast that God has worked eternally, where there is a chasm fixed, where we will be kept safe forever in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus has revealed to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.